Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Hey, Compass, how you doing? Yay! Is my mic good? Are we good? Okay, good. All right, so it has been a wild week, you guys. Like, all three of my kids are in Alive Student Ministries, and my husband played Rockstar this week and went and played in the band. So I think it's been like 17 years since I've been home by myself for any extended amount of time. I had Chex Mix for dinner like twice. Because it's just easier. Okay, and there's another cool thing that I feel like I haven't talked to y'all in forever. So just like get ready. I have had no one to talk to all week. So, okay. As some of you know, the Chandro family has driven the same red Kia minivan for 13 years. We got it when we got Trinity, and we just drove it. And it has been I don't see the rust spots. I don't see the scratches down the side where shopping carts. I see none of it because it's beautiful, because it's mine and it's paid off and it's gorgeous, right? And it's like broke down on us. Every time we go on vacation, we've had to put like hundreds of dollars to get home. And anyway, it died. It's dead. It's over. We had to make the decision, okay, we're not going to put any more money into this van. So we got a new van, everybody. Woo! Okay, it's used. It's new to me. And so I think it's amazing. I didn't even have electric locks before. So I'm just like, I'm so amazing right now driving in my van. And so as we've been talking through this series and working in this series, I've been thinking about how we've been talking a lot about our emotions and how like, our emotions can lie to us, feelings can lie to us. And so this is just a funny thing I wanted to share. When we had to go back to Armando's, which is the dear mechanic place that we go to fix our van, okay? And I was like, we're going to go to Armando's and we got to go pick up the van that we have now replaced. And I was like, Chris, I know this is silly, but I don't want to take the new van to pick up the old van because I don't want his feelings to get hurt. I know that's stupid. It's crazy. And also, like, these poor people at Armando's, they have loved our van. They have worked on it. And every time, like, they give me such a good deal. And they do, like, so I was like, I just don't feel right about it. And he's like, all right, well, whatever. So we drive to Armando's, and I get out, and I see my van, and the scales were removed from my eyes, and I could see all the rust spots, and I could see all the dents. And I was like, oh, baby, I'm sorry. And it's stupid. And I felt bad. So I get in and I'm feeling nostalgic because it's like my babies were in this van. Like we all threw up in this. Well, two of us didn't throw up in the van, but everybody else did. And like there's all these memories, okay? And one thing I did upgrade on the van a couple years ago was I was like, I gotta have something where I can play music off of my phone. So a couple years ago, got a Bluetooth speaker. And so I get into the van, I turn on the key, and also I like boy bands, so I was listening to the boy band, like, random playlist from Apple. I turn on the key, and I kid you not, my red van starts singing to me, you know, whatever I did, I didn't mean it, I just want you back for good, girl. And like, oh, and I'm like, oh, it knows. And so I know, guys, maybe I'm crazy. So I'm driving, I'm following Chris out of Armando's, and we came to a stoplight, and I pulled up next to him, and I rolled down the window, and I'm like, I'm so sad, the van knows. And he's like, you'll be fine. And I'm like, you know what? I am fine. I've got a new van. It's great. But I just wanted to take you down that little journey with me. So we've been talking about being overwhelmed. We've been talking about just dealing with stress in life, and how to manage that stuff. So, and I gotta say, Chris, I think this series has been great. As I was looking over it and getting ready for this week, remembering it, week one, we talked about Romans 8:28, and basically our takeaway was, if it's not good, then God is not done. And that was a great message. I love that one. And then week two, we talked about how it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. And we talked about how in James chapter 5, he says, if anybody's sick among you, you know, come to the church or come and let's get prayed for, and that God will heal you. And we talked about how, especially, I don't know, which maybe it's just our culture, But in the church and maybe in culture at large, we're totally fine to be like, yeah, man, could you pray for me? Like, I have heart problems, or I have, you know, a really bad headache, or you know, just things that we're okay to. It's okay to have these sicknesses. But how God is just as interested in ministering to us and healing us and helping us with emotional problems or with mental illness as much as he is the other things that were somehow okay for us to talk about. And so we talked about how it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. And we need to come and we need to invite God into the situation. All right, and then last week, an overwhelming problem requires an overwhelming solution. And our verse there was Philippians 4:8 and talked about how we're not supposed to, how basically just don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. And then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ. And we talked about how the overwhelming solution to our overwhelming problem is being overwhelmingly, completely and totally surrendered to Jesus and following him and living in Christ. It's when we live in Christ that his peace is made perfect, and that we don't have to just like come to church and be like, okay, I feel better, and then go do our own thing and live however we want and do whatever we want and forget about Jesus. And then we're like, I'm stressed out, I'm freaked out, I have no peace, and come back to church. It's just like this vicious cycle. We gotta live in Christ. Okay, so now it's my turn. And but if I'm being honest, preparing for this message was a little bit close to home. And it was like, wow, usually when I talk about stuff, it's like, hey, so like a long time ago, this happened. And let me tell you how God delivered me, okay? But this has been stuff that's like happening in the here, in the now, in the recent. So it's about to get real. Okay, so, as I've been thinking about this, in all honesty, this is not something that I've mastered. If I'm being completely transparent, there are days that the very idea of facing the things that I need to do in a day, along with feelings of inadequacy to the job that is before me, can be paralyzing. Some days, more than others, simply getting out of bed and facing the day and what it holds is a struggle. Anxiety can dominate my heart and my mind, and it can feel like a battle, a fight, just to get my feet to the floor. And the truth of the matter is, every day, we are in a fight. Does anybody ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like just what you have before you, you're not equipped to do it? It's just too much, and it's just easier to keep, just let's just stay in bed. I'm too stressed out to even try. It just feels like a fight. But the fact is, I am in a fight. I am in a battle, and so are you. Whether you realize it or not, there is a battle going on. And what's wonderful about the Word of God is that everything that we go through and everything that we face, God has something to say about it to help us. And so this is no different. And so I want to read today a passage about the fight that we're in. And the message title, I guess if I have one, would be, do you want peace? We'll be ready for a fight. And we're going to read out of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. And just to set this up, Ephesians, so the Bible is made up of 66 different books, all put together, written by different authors. And Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul, when the church first began, he was one of the very first missionaries. He was one of the very first church planters. And so he would go and he would start a church in a city, stay with them for a period of time, and then he would move on and go start another church. And then he would, write letters. And so they would give the letters to the churches, and sometimes they would pass them from church to church so that they could hear how Paul was. Well, This book of the Bible is actually a letter. Paul was writing a letter to the church at Ephesus. Now, the church at Ephesus, he planted that there, and he was with them for about 3 years. So the people at the church of Ephesus, he really loved them. He knew them well. They knew him well. They loved him. And so they were very well-taught and well-discipled church. And so this is who he's writing this letter to. And just a side note too, like Paul didn't write chapter 6, verse 1. He just wrote a letter. And then people came in later and divided it up with the chapters of the verses so we could be able to find things and talk about things. So it's a little, that's free information there, okay? All right, so, and one other cool thing before I start reading is Paul's writing this, and he is literally, he's been arrested and he is in prison for sharing the good news of Jesus. He is literally in chains when he's writing this. And what's very cool about the book of Ephesians itself, when you look through, especially the first three chapters, he is so full of praise and so full of thanksgiving, and he is uplifting, he is upbeat, and it's just, that's his demeanor, is praise and thanks to God. It's not at all what you would expect someone who's literally in chains. So let's read about the fight that we're in and what Paul has to say about it. A final word: be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Okay, so when I look at this and I observe this scripture, it says here that I'm to be strong, to be strong in the Lord. So God's design for me, his plan for me, and his purpose for me is not to be feeling weak and to be feeling defeated. His plan is for me to be strong. And it's like, well, I don't feel strong. But the beautiful thing is, look here, is it's not my strength. I don't have to muster it up myself. I am to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It's his strength. The mighty God who created the universe with just his words. That's how much power he has, that just his words spoke the world into existence. That's what I'm drawing from. So what do we do? He says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Okay, so this is where I don't like to talk about this very much because I don't like to give, like, the devil much press. I don't like to give the enemy any props. But here's the thing, whether we believe it or not, whether you know it or not, there is a battle going on. And so many times, most of the time, the thing that we think our problem is, the person we think our problem is, they're not our real problem. They're not our real enemy. The devil is real, and his plan is to kill, to steal, and destroy. That is what his plan is. And he does not care if what lie you believe. He just wants you to believe a lie. So some of us he has believing we're inadequate, we're not loved, and we're insignificant. Some of us believe the lie, this stuff is all fairy tales, pixie dust, this is ridiculous. He doesn't care which lie you believe, as long as you believe a lie. All right, so what should we do about it? Let's see what Paul says. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. So stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. And in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and persistent in your prayers for believers everywhere. Okay, so this whole passage is about the armor of God. Has anybody ever heard of the armor of God? Like, you've heard of it, right? Okay, so, like... And I've read this so many times, and this is a concept I'm familiar with. So I think it's so cool that as we read God's word and as we go through our life, there's times where you read something that you've read over and over again, and it's new, it's fresh, and it's like, oh, this is for me right now, right here today, okay? So in thinking about the armor of God, okay, I remember I grew up in the 80s, okay? And And I grew up in the church, so we were at church all the time, and there was well-intentioned people who would try. It was a big Christian culture thing, you know, to tell parents that, you know, you really shouldn't let your kids play with He-Man because that power's not from God, or the Smurfs are demons and they have spells, and so we got to stay away from the Smurfs. And so I had a very dear grandmother, and she wanted us to love Jesus more than anything. That was like her life. And so we would be at her house, and my cousin was with us, and he was a few years younger than me, so he had action figures, and he had He-Man, and he had Skeletor, and my grandmother, she just wanted us to love Jesus, okay? And so she went to the Bible bookstore, and she bought some action figures for him. She got Moses, okay? We had Moses, and we had John the Baptist. Yeah. We had Jesus, the Son of God. We had him. And so one day, I remember I was just watching TV, and I think I convinced my grandmother that I could watch the Smurfs. So I was like, I know Jesus is the powerful one. I won't do spells. Can I just please watch Gargamel and Papa Smurf? And she was okay with it. Like, okay, that's fine. So grandma walks through the living room, and there's my cousin Brant, and he's having an epic battle. And there's He-Man and Skeletor and John the Baptist and Moses, and they're all beating the snot out of Jesus. And my grandma was like, no, because, like, these are, like, nothing that would, she would have never, ever, ever dishonor our Lord. And so she was like, no! And she took, give me that! And she took Jesus and she put him on her nightstand, and we didn't get to play with Jesus anymore. So that was just a side story, but she also bought, so at the same Bible bookstore, the same company had made this toy Armor of God set. So we had it. And I was familiar with, you know, the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and the belt of truth and, you know, the helmet of salvation. And, you know, and I was totally down with the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit is God's word. And, you know, if you don't love God's word, if you haven't acquired a taste for it, I mean, it is literally your weapon. It's like if a knight going into battle without a sword is what you are if you do not know what this says. So, and also, side note, when I was a teenager, I was like, this is hard. I don't really like to read the Bible. It's hard. So I would try and try and try, and I would pray, and I asked the Lord, help me to fall in love with your word. Help me to like it, because I really know I need it, and God helped me with that. So anyway, just so you know, if you think it's hard, you're not alone. Okay. But here's the thing, and I would go to kids' church, and they would sing songs about the armor of God, and then they would talk about, and at the end, the one song ended, and it was like, don't forget your gospel shoes. And I was like, gospel shoes? That's goofy. I want some Reeboks. I don't want gospel shoes. Like, I just didn't, like, it was like, eh. It's just like, okay, it's part of the armor of God, but I don't really, it didn't really resonate or mean anything. But in recent days, going through this and reading it, it had a whole new meaning. So let's read that part. It says, it's verse 15. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. Put on the peace that comes from the good news. The good news is, some translations say the gospel. So the gospel equals good news. And the good news is our peace, and we're to put them on like shoes. What is the gospel? What is the good news? The Ephesian church knew it. He didn't have to elaborate here. He'd been with them for 3 years. And so when he says the good news, they know exactly what he means. The good news is that God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to come. He wanted us to have a relationship with him. And sin had messed that all up. There was a divide, and there was a price that had to be paid. And we couldn't do it on our own. So Jesus came, and he completely surrendered himself over to death on a cross. He died for our sins. But the wonderful thing is, he did not stay dead. He rose again. And that is the key thing. That is the good news. Jesus has overcome the grave. All of the people who were hanging out with Jesus, who were actually part of the early church, when Jesus was crucified, they scattered. They were horrified. You would have been too. Crucifixion in ancient Rome is horrifying. So that should have been the end of it. But because Jesus rose again, because they saw a risen Savior, it changed everything. And they were no longer afraid. And they had to tell everyone about it. So what does that look like for you and for me to put on peace, to put on the good news like shoes? Well, I'm going to show you what it looks like for me. Whew, okay. Lord, I'm so thankful that from the very beginning of my life, you were there. You stitched me together in my mother's womb. And you have plans for me. And before I even said, yeah, I'm going to love you back, you were all in on the relationship. You loved me extravagantly. You gave yourself over to be tortured and crucified for me. And Lord, I thank you that you love me so completely and that everything that you have for me to do, you have fully equipped me to do it because you designed me. You're going to help me. Thank you, Lord. And Jesus, I'm just so thankful for everything that you did. I thank you that you're going to help me. And I thank you, Lord, that when my time's up and I am no longer alive on this earth, that I'm going to be in paradise with you because you have overcome the grave. So there's no reason, there's nothing that I need to be afraid of. That's how I put on my shoes. Especially days where I'm feeling not the best. So, 3 years ago, I was doing the kids' stuff here at Compass. We didn't have the wonderful gift of Stacy Lux yet at that time, and I took the kids to kids' camp. And they put me, we just had a couple girls from Compass in our room, and it was me, and then they put all the other leftover kids who didn't have leaders in my room. I had 14 children in my room and no other adults. I'm not bitter. And we had to be on schedule. We had to be, you know, you had to be at lunch at a certain time, at the rallies at a certain time, and competitions at a certain time. And, you know, I would, and in my house, I raised my kids, like in our house, it was just for survival, honestly, but in my house, it was, you know, you obey. And when you obey, it's you obey right away, exactly, and cheerfully. And if you don't obey right away, exactly, and cheerfully, then you're not obeying and you're going to have problems. But not all the 14 children in the room were familiar with obedience. Right away, exactly, cheerfully. And it would be like, you know, okay, guys, in 10 minutes, we got to be, you know, at the service. So be getting ready. And then it would come time, and it's like, all right, line up, let's go, lights out. And this one girl, every time, I don't have my shoes on, I don't have my shoes on. And I'm like, get your shoes on. I can't find them. Oh, dear mercy. So then we're all looking for shoes. But like, this is not just one time, like, oh, you know, grace and mercy. By the end of it, I was just like, put on your shoes. Put on your loving shoes. Let's go. Sorry, I screamed at you. And I'm so thankful that our Heavenly Father has so much more patience than I do. And how many times has He looked down on me, being consumed with how I feel, and how I feel insignificant, and I'm not ready because I'm just not ready yet. I'm too scared or I'm too stressed. And He's just saying, Terry Lynn, put on your shoes. Put on your shoes. I got stuff for you to do. Put on your shoes. The good news of Jesus, what He did, the gospel message, it is our peace. we got to wear it like our shoes every day. There's a song that I'm going to have the band lead us in. And there's a lyric in there that says, "For every fear, there's an empty grave. Jesus has overcome." And so I'm going to have the prayer teams come. We're going to stand in a moment. We're going to sing this song. And if God's been stirring, if you feel him stirring in your heart, and maybe you've been struggling with just having peace, and you'd like prayer, we're going to have our prayer teams here. You can come and they'll pray with you. Maybe you've never made that gospel message, that good news. Maybe you've never taken that and made that your own story. And you're ready today to be like, you know what? I'm going to follow Jesus. You can come and pray with one of our teams here. They'd be happy to do that. And the rest of us, we're going to stand and we're just going to declare Jesus has overcome. And we're going to celebrate what he does, what he's done.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.